You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Good morning. I'm Cardinal Francis George. For the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago will be hosting discussions on issues, people, and associations that touch our lives. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith.
And welcome to Life Talk. Good morning, friends. I'm Mary Louise Curry, the Director of the Respect Life Office of the Archdiocese of Chicago, and I want to wish all of you a very Merry Christmas. That's right, because we know that Christmas is 12 days in the church calendar. So while other folks may be out of touch and already tossing their Christmas trees, we know that this celebration of Christ's birth continues. And I want to wish all of you a very Merry Christmas. I hope that you had a very blessed Christmas day and Christmas Eve with your family and friends, as well as New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. And we have some very special guests in the studio this morning for this taped program. Usually, as you know, our shows are live and people can call in. This morning is going to be a taped show, but still just as relevant, just as filled with exciting spontaneity here, as we have some terrific guests who really can keep me on my toes. Joe and Ann Scheidler are in the studio with me today, and certainly they are, I'm sure that many of you are familiar with them. They have been involved in the pro-life movement since 1973 with the passage of Roe v. Wade, and we're going to be talking about that today as this month marks the 35th anniversary of that terrible decision by the Supreme Court. And Joe and Ann are just terrific people. As I said, lots of experience in the pro-life movement now, 35 years. They founded the Pro-Life Action League in 1980. They are renowned nationally for the Now v. Scheidler case, which started in 1986, went to the Supreme Court three times, most recently in 2003 when they won 8-1, and then in 2006 when it was a unanimous 8-0 decision. And Anne is also the Parish Respect Life Coordinator at Queen of All Saints Basilica here in the Archdiocese of Chicago. They have 7 children and 18 grandchildren. And in addition, Anne is an accomplished piano player. So, Joe and Anne, welcome to Life Talk this morning.
Thank you, Mary Louise.
Thanks, Mary Louise. Great to be here.
Oh, great to have you guys here in the studio. And so they are sitting on my right and on my left, just as illustrious a personage here, Wayne Smith, who has been involved in the Respect Life movement for 9 years. He had a very interesting journey to the pro-life position from being an atheist who had graphic pro-abortion artwork to now becoming a very devout Catholic and very active in the pro-life movement. 9 years, and he is the Parish Respect Life Coordinator at St. Stanislaus Kostka Parish in downtown Chicago. Wayne, thanks so much for being with us on Life Talk today.
Well, it's great being here with you, Mary Louise. Thank you for having me.
Well, it's a real blessing. And next to Wayne is Susanna Leone, who is the co-coordinator for Respect Life at St. Stanislaus Kostka. And we've got behind the glass Margie Breen, who is the program manager for the Respect Life office, and Mitch Streedle, our coordinator of youth outreach. And then the infamous Brian Brock, who accompanied us on our March for Life trip last year, and he's our technician this morning and will be giving some input on the March for Life pilgrimage, which is coming up now in just a couple of weeks.
Good morning, Mary Louise.
Good morning. That's great. All right. So so we got a big team here for you all today. And as I mentioned, friends, we want to talk about the 35th anniversary of Roe v. Wade. It seems hard to believe that before I was even born, abortion on demand was made legal in the United States throughout all 9 months of pregnancy. And for somebody like me, and maybe for many of you as well, it's hard to even relate to what kind of state our country was in at that time, and what the significance is of that decision. And Joanne, I want to start with you actually talking about this. I mean, there have been the amount of loss of life since 1973 is just even hard to believe as a result of this decision. Do you think anybody imagined what are the numbers, first of all, and do you think anybody imagined that abortion would be so tremendously widespread?
Well, for surgical abortions alone, it's over 50 million now.
Wow.
It's a tremendous amount of people. We never dreamed it would come to that. It was a terrible shock because people were not really following it like they do now, the abortion issue. There were states that were rescinding certain laws, and even in Illinois they were trying to make abortion more available. And we were fighting on a local level. Mm-hmm. But it never occurred to us that it would become a national issue, that the Supreme Court would come down with a decision that violated the Constitution and basically everything this country stands for. Mm-hmm. It was a shock to read it. It was like reading science fiction. I mean, some crazy country 1,000 years from now would decide that you could kill the youngest members of your family. Mm-hmm. And so we went into shock at first. Then we started looking around and trying to get an idea of what people thought about it. And I was surprised how few people really made a big issue out of it. Mm-hmm. We thought we'd find tremendous leadership and overflowing meetings of pro-lifers, and it just wasn't that way. Mm. And so after a while, you realized you just had to kind of take it on yourself. And so I quit a job with a public relations firm and went into pro-life full-time. Mm. And that meant Ann went into pro-life full-time, too.
Now, was that in terms of having seven children, Ann, or also in addition to that, doing other activist and educational outreach on this?
That was in addition. We were pregnant with baby number four when Roe v. Wade came down. So for me, it was a real personal issue that the baby in my womb had no value to our government. And I just couldn't believe that that could happen. Mm-hmm. And like Joe said, we thought there'd be a lot more outrage on the part of the rest of the citizens, on the part of our leaders, church leaders, political leaders, everybody. We thought nobody will stand for this, and it will only be a year or two, and we'll restore the value of life, not realizing, like I've always said, God is good to us. He didn't tell us this was going to be a lifelong journey when we started it. He probably would have said, I think I'll do something else. He eased us into it, and, you know.
Wow, yeah, absolutely. And it's hard to imagine, as somebody born after Roe, that I might not be here today if my parents could have chosen, hey, you know, we don't want this kid. And I know I was an unplanned pregnancy. You know, they talk about Planned Parenthood, and that would have meant Mary Louise would not be here if my parents had believed in that. But a quarter of my generation is missing. It's really mind-boggling.
At the beginning, it was a third. You know, there were more abortions in the very early, in the 70s, than now, and through the 80s. But any one of us could, you know, view younger people under 35. There is only a third or a fourth of their generation in this country. Mm-hmm. And you think of all those real people that were killed under the government. It's really, when I read Roe v. Wade, I thought, this is a suicide note. Mm-hmm. This is how you destroy a nation. You kill its young. That's what wars are about. Kill off the young people. And when you've depleted your youth, society, then you're weak. Mm-hmm. You don't have any plans for the future. And just from a pragmatic point of view, who's going to pay Social Security for you guys? Mm-hmm. I mean, when 50 million taxpayers are out of the picture, 50 million people who would be the doctors and the media people and so on. It's just a terrible, terrible idea, and it will destroy a society. Mm-hmm. As well as being immoral, it's very impractical.
Yeah.
And so it has to be fought. And there wasn't any question in my mind after reading Roe v. Wade that there were going to have to be people who took this on full time. Mm-hmm. A lot of people.
Oh, yeah, and we see that with other justice issues, whether it be homelessness or just wage. We see there are a lot of groups dedicated full-time to those issues, and those issues, while very important, do not result in the same kind of loss of life as abortion, and not just killing the innocent unborn child, but also it's really, in a sense, killing the soul of the woman. And I think that what we've seen is a real flowering of post-abortion ministry to women, and women now speak out who've had abortions. Is that a new development? I mean, in the 70s and 80s, were there women who had abortions speaking out and saying, hey, this is bad, don't make the mistake I made, like we see nowadays?
There were not, no. I think that's a phenomenon starting in the 90s and growing and growing, and now we see. But part of the reason for that, I think, is the what you read about the psychology of it is it takes a while for that realization of what you've done mm-hmm. to come to the fore and for a woman to recognize that this was a terrible mistake mm-hmm. and to be able to admit it. Mm-hmm. Because initially it may seem to her like it was the solution to a problem at the time. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't go away. She lives right. with it forever. And it so it makes sense that it took a while for that element to come to the fore and to kind of reach its peak. And mm-hmm. I think it will be the single most important element in eliminating abortion.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's a very powerful message of credibility, in a sense. Women saying, hey, I exercise this so-called constitutional right, and it's been the worst decision I've made in my life. So we need to head to a break right now. We're talking with Joe and Ann Scheidler and Wayne Smith here, chatting about the 35th anniversary of Roe v. Wade. And going in and out of these breaks, we're going to have some sound clips from the March for Life CD and also some clips from the March for Life pilgrimage last year of young people sharing their experiences. So stay with us. We'll be right back here on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Mama and her daddy with the baby in the back seat. 50 miles to go and she was running low on faith and gasoline. It'd been a long, hard year. She had a lot on her mind and she didn't pay attention. She was going away too fast. Before she knew.
The Catholic Campaign for Human Development helps fund organizations that break the cycle of poverty and make Chicagoland a better place to live.
Our organization conducted a summer academic camp on Chicago's South Side to keep kids safe, off the streets, and help them succeed in school.
Thanks to our efforts, the EPA is cleaning up industrial pollution that is threatening residents in scores of homes in Little Village.
We have been fighting to keep a well-respected nursing home open in Lake County.
We teach homeless women a useful craft, pay them a living wage, and offer them transitional housing if needed.
Those are just a few examples of the wonderful work being done by the more than 20 local organizations funded by the Catholic Campaign for Human Development. Please support the Catholic Campaign for Human Development. Let's break the cycle of poverty and make Chicago and the suburbs a better place to live.
Choosing an elementary school for your child is one of the biggest decisions you will ever make to shape your child's future. So why pick a Catholic school?
I want my kids to learn more than the three R's. They need a faith-based education so they make good decisions.
I want my son and daughter to go to college. At Catholic schools, attendance and graduation rates are nearly 100%. And when these kids graduate, they go to college.
My teacher is so cool. She knows who I am. She helps me when I have trouble figuring things out.
My son is in the number. The student-teacher ratio is 18 to 1, and Catholic school teachers are really dedicated.
I want my daughter to feel welcome, to be safe.
The test scores are well above the national average. Look out, college. Here they come.
Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Schools to learn more about the great benefits of a Catholic education. Invest in your child's future. Make your child a winner for life.
You know, it's just, it's such a great cause, and I'm so glad to see everyone out here, and definitely I feel that we've accomplished something.
I just don't think it's right to kill anything at all, a child especially, even if it isn't born yet. I mean, that's just wrong.
Welcome back to Life Talk. I'm Mary Louise Curry here in the studio with Joe and Ann Scheidler and Wayne Smith, and we're talking about the 35th anniversary of the Supreme Court's Roe versus Wade decision. That decision was made on January 22nd of 1973, and since then, more than 50 million surgical abortions have been committed in the United States. Hard to imagine that kind of violence against children and women. And so we're in the studio, and we're talking about where where the pro-life movement was at that time, what efforts now are being done to spread the gospel of life. And Joanne, we're talking about being there right at the very beginning in 1973, and kind of, you know, what the sense was of the nation at the time when that happened. But Wayne, I want to go to you actually here. Wayne Smith, the Parish Respect Life Coordinator at St. Stanislaus Kostka. Now you are a tremendous advocate for life. You do sidewalk counseling, reaching out to women who feel that, you know, they're heading into the abortion facility, and you're that last line of defense for them, you might say, as they're about to make a tragic decision for themselves and their child. But in 1973, where were you on this issue?
Well, I, like a lot of young people, was a product of the 60s and the 70s, the selfish me-first generation. And I can say that I was adamantly pro-abortion because I didn't believe in God. My heritage is and was Jewish, and it meant very little or nothing to me. I saw the world the way most of the young people that I was surrounded with did, and that is with me at the center. It was tune in, turn on, drop out. It was drugs, free sex, do what you want, eliminate anything that eliminated your happiness or your success or what your idea of a good life might be. So all of us saw things like contraception and abortion as wonderful, good things. When the Supreme Court made abortion legal, we thought that was great. We didn't believe, most of us, that we had souls. We didn't believe in God. We didn't believe that there was anything except what was in this life, and you grabbed what you could, and you went with that. And I did artwork, and I was in a graphics area, and I did all kinds of things which promoted contraception. My slogan was "Birth Control is Human Nature." And I did all kinds of things that right now I feel very sad about. But looking back on it, it all came out of one basic idea, that I'm the center of the universe. There is no higher power. There is no morality. And abortion, I knew what it was. I had no clue about what happened to a baby in a mother's womb. Nobody showed us that. So abortion was eliminating a problem. And I did posters, for example, that said things like, "After you have him, will you still want him?"
Wow. Oh, man. Wait, holy cow. I'm fortunate I'm here today after that.
And then,
actually, Wayne, I just want to address that issue for a second. As a sidewalk counselor, you have helped women to choose life. Have you ever encountered a woman who says after a child is born, man, you know, we all the time we hear women saying, "I regret my abortion," through the Project Rachel hotline. And not just women, but men as well. But have you ever heard a woman say, "Man, I wish I'd had an abortion"?
No, I never did. I've heard women say it's hard, and sometimes it is, but I have never heard a woman who's changed her mind say, I wish you hadn't talked me out of that.
Yes.
And I don't think if you went to anyone who works with women who said yes to life, you're going to hear that.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, life is tough, but when you hold a baby in your arms, it gets a whole lot easier.
Now, Wayne, what kind of then happened in your journey? So here you're at one point, you know, back in 1973, and in a sense, I'm grateful. Well, in many ways, I'm grateful for your witness because it gives us a sense of how is this Supreme Court decision made? I mean, but you give us a sense of kind of where our nation was at the time, and tell us about your journey now today. Look at you. You're the Parish Respect Life Coordinator, very committed to spreading the gospel of life. What happened?
Well, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. that's what happened. God called to me, and I had to go down very far. I hit the bottom of the barrel. I entered into despair. My life was destroyed, basically, spiritually, emotionally. I had no reason to live. I was suicidal. And I did attempt to take my own life at one point.
Oh, wow.
And as far as I'm concerned, I was successful. God just didn't let it happen.
Praise God. He had a great plan for you.
Yeah, he's pro-life.
That's right.
We've noticed that.
Yeah, even for those who don't like him and don't know him. That's why when we pray those prayers, like the Fatima prayers and the other prayers, I firmly believe that the prayers of people, when you ask of what happened, for it is God, but I think it's the people who have prayed prayers like, my God, I believe, I adore, I hope, and I love you. I ask pardon of you for those who do not believe, do not adore, do not hope, and do not love you. Mm-hmm. I think those prayers are real.
And I
think that's one of the reasons I'm here.
Praise God. Praise God. And we're going to head into another break. We're here in the studio with Joanne Scheidler and Wayne Smith talking about the 35th anniversary of Roe v. Wade. Stay with us. We'll be right back on Life Talk.
You're invited to watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Here's host Graziano Marcheschi.
Francis Cardinal George is elected president of the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops. We'll talk to the Cardinal about his expanding role as a church leader. And we'll take you to one of our Chicago Catholic elementary schools, where you can see the good that comes from the parish sharing program.
For several interesting stories about the Archdiocese, please watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Radio TV for the time and cable channel in your area. That's www.archchicago.org. The Church, the Cardinal, and You, compelling television about your Archdiocese.
Real men answer the call to the priesthood. Is God calling you?
You know, I'm honored to be a priest for the Archdiocese of Chicago. I think it's great.
There's a desire to want to give back and to help and to serve those who are especially in need.
I think there's a wonderful opportunity for us to bring good news to a world that's very much in need.
When I experience through my ministry someone being brought closer to the Lord, it's an exciting, thrilling moment.
If you feel God's call to a priestly vocation, contact us at 312-751-8298 or visit our website at chicagopriest.com. John Paul II once said, "Do not be afraid. Open your heart to Christ. The deepest joy there is in life is the joy that comes from God. Jesus is the hope of the world. The people are calling. The world is calling. God is calling. Answer the call to the priesthood."
Obviously, the infants need defending, and we must overturn this decision. It's abominable, and as Father said yesterday, they're running out of excuses, so that's why I'm here.
And we're back on Life Talk. That was a quote about the from the March for Life pilgrimage last year, the Archdiocesan pilgrimage. And we're going to have another pilgrimage this year, marking the 35th anniversary of Roe v. Wade. I'm Mary Louise Curry in the studio with Joanne Scheidler and Wayne Smith. And, you know, before we went to break, Wayne, we were talking about your tremendous conversion to the gospel of life. Really, I mean, I wish people could sit in on what we're talking about during the breaks here, too. In the studio. I mean, this is some of the most interesting conversation, you know, that I've enjoyed this year. I mean, this has just been really inspiring and terrific. But Wayne, I just want to talk a little bit more about your journey from being, you know, very pro-abortion, doing, you know, even graphic artwork on promoting abortion and things like this, to now being, so beautifully, tremendously pro-life. Just what a beautiful witness you bring. And Joe had asked you if there was, what was kind of that turning point? Was there an experience that you had that transformed your heart?
Yeah, there was. Even after my conversion, I was baptized into the Catholic Church in 1996. And among my prayers with the rosary and other prayers, I would pray for an end to abortion. And I never really thought about it. People just prayed it, and you just kind of do it almost automatically. One day, I was laying on my sofa, and the EWTN came on, and it was Father Frank Pavone. And he was showing a video about partial birth abortion. Well, normally that wouldn't affect me that much because Mary Louise didn't mention it, but I'm blind. And so watching the TV, I miss a lot. What I hear is all that I have. Mm-hmm. Father Pavone, in addition to running this image of a partial birth abortion, he verbally described it. Mm-hmm. And as he described opening the skull of a tiny baby and sucking out this baby's brains and collapsing the head, I was writhing almost at the point of throwing up on the sofa. Mm. All of a sudden, abortion wasn't a word anymore. All of a sudden, abortion was not just murder, but it was a slaughter. Mm-hmm. And being of a Jewish heritage and growing up in a largely German-Jewish neighborhood, I heard a lot about the Holocaust. And images of that started to come back to me. And when that video was over and Father Pavone's description of a partial birth and abortion was over, God had me. I couldn't walk away from that. I'm a fighter, whether I'm on the wrong side or the right side. thank God I'm on the right side now. And I knew I had to do this. And so I started calling around, and I wasn't sure how to go about it. And actually, that's when Joe Shiler came into my life. My boss, I worked for Port Ministries, a Franciscan ministry for the poor on the south side of Chicago at the time, a wonderful ministry. My director, Dave Crew, walked into the office and said, there's a woman asking for prayers for Joe Shiler when he's going through this battle with the National Organization for Women in the Supreme Court. And she's asking for 1,000 Hail Marys. Hmm. And I thought to myself, 1,000 Hail Marys? That's a lot of Hail Marys. When I go home, I'll pray a rosary for Joe Shiler. And I really didn't know much about you. Mm-hmm. And so I sat in my chair, and I prayed a full rosary, all the mysteries. At that time, the three mysteries. And when I finished, my heart said, you're not going to stop. It was the Holy Spirit very clearly saying, don't stop. Hmm. And all of a sudden, I just said to myself, almost against my will, even though it wasn't, I said, I'm going to pray these 1,000 Hail Marys.
Wow.
So for the next 4 hours, I prayed for Joe Shiler.
Wow.
Nonstop.
Thanks, Wayne. That did it.
And unbelievable. And I didn't even know this before this show. This is incredible. The Holy Spirit's really going to work here.
And then I told some people about it, and I sent somebody said, why don't you let Joe Shiler know that you prayed for him like that? I said, he's got all this to do, and he knows all these people. What is one person? He said, send the letter. So I sent the letter. And at this time, I really was new to the—
And when was this? In the mid-80s, I guess,
no,
right?
No, this would have been in the mid-90s.
Ah, okay.
And I really didn't know how the Holy Spirit works. Even though he was working with me and on me, I was kind of clueless about this intimate relationship that we each have with God.
Mm-hmm.
And I sent the letter off just as I had prayed the 1,000 Hail Marys when I really hadn't planned to.
Mm-hmm.
I sent the letter off. And a while later, I got a call from Joe Shiler because I had left my number on it. And he had just come back from surgery. And he said, I had a whole office full of boxes of mail, and somehow I picked yours out as one of the first to open. And I read it, And I said, I can't believe this man prayed 1,000 Hail Marys for me. So he called me to thank me.
Oh, wow.
And then he put me in touch.
Do you remember that call, Joe?
Yeah, I do. I said, I wouldn't do that for you.
You know, we need to head to a break, and this is just such exciting conversation. But when we come back, I want to talk about the flowering of Gospel of Life opportunities happening this month, marking the 35th anniversary of Roe v. Wade, Cardinal George's letter to priests, the Archdiocesan Mass for Life, the March for Life pilgrimage in D.C., the March for Life in Chicago, all sorts of things going on. And we're going to talk about that when we come back, friends. We're here with Joanne Scheidler, Wayne Smith, and behind the glass, we've got Brian Brock. Stay with us right here on Life Talk, Relevant Radio, 950 AM.
In the infinite cold, but you sing to me over and over and over again. So I lay my head back down, and I
we asked people all over America, what have you done for your marriage today?
Boy, I gave a huge hug this morning, like a really big squeeze that lasted forever, a great kiss. Those things are really important.
She got a really short haircut that she hated, and I wrote her a note and put it up on the mirror saying that she was a cute girl with cute hair.
What have I done for my marriage today?
We've actually organized a date night tonight.
What have I done for my marriage today?
Wow, that is a great question.
I took the baby while she worked.
I got up with the baby while he slept.
Yeah.
Today, I sent an email to my husband, and I said, you rock.
Well, I've done today what I usually do, and that is obey.
I listened to my wife when we talked on the telephone today. She really likes it when I listen.
What have you done for your marriage today? Little things can make a big difference. For ideas, go to foryourmarriage.org, a message from the Catholic Communication Campaign.
Celebrate our Catholic faith in the land down under. Pope Benedict XVI is calling young people from around the world to join him in July 2008 for World Youth Day in Sydney, Australia.
This vibrant celebration features popular Catholic musicians, catechesis by our bishops, including our own Cardinal Francis George, and an overnight vigil mass with the Pope.
Call the Office for Catechesis and Youth Ministry for details on this once-in-a-lifetime spiritual journey.
The number is 773-388-8674. That number again, 773-388-8674. Join 1 million young Catholics in this global expression of Catholic faith.
Hope to see you in Sydney next July.
You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio, 950 AM.
Every Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 a.m., the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, the issues, and the faith that affect all our lives. Thanks for staying with us here on Relevant Radio 950 a.m. Now again, the Catholic Community of Faith.
If my mom had said no, I wouldn't be here today, and neither would any of the rest of us.
They can't talk for themselves, and it's like on the back one, I thought it said, there's no such thing as a small murder, and that's true, because just taking a life away.
Some words of wisdom from Chicago teens attending the March for Life pilgrimage in Washington, D.C. last January. And we're here in the studio with Joanne Scheidler and Wayne Smith talking about the 35th anniversary of Roe v. Wade, which takes place later this month. January 22nd, 2008, friends, marks the 35th anniversary of the Supreme Court decision that basically permitted abortion throughout all 9 months of pregnancy. And it's just hard to believe since then, as we mentioned earlier, more more than 50 million surgical abortions have been committed in the United States. You know, one of the things that hopefully people, you know, are feeling now, Joe and Wayne, is they're feeling motivated. 35 years. Wow. You know, a quarter of Mary Louise's generation is missing. You know, that doesn't sound so good. What can we do? We hope people think that way. You know, so what can we do? And there's a real, we're seeing now a kind of flowering of the pro-life movement. It seems like the gospel of life with many opportunities for people to get involved. And one is coming up this Saturday night, January 5th. Taking place at St. Lambert Parish, Cardinal George is celebrating the Archdiocesan Mass for Life, January 5th, this Saturday evening at 5 p.m. It's open to the public, and a reception with Cardinal George will follow the Mass. If people want more information on that, they can call the Respect Life office at 312-751-5355. Again, that's 312-751-5355. And you guys have, you all have been at that Mass before. What is the significance of having an Archdiocesan Mass focused on, specifically on abortion? You know, we do one in October that's for Respect Life. It covers all the life issues. But here's one in January, you know, around the Roe v. Wade anniversary. Why is that important?
Want me to talk about that? As a parish pro-life coordinator, you know, it's really important, I think, for our church community to come together as one. And we are such a huge archdiocese that we don't have an opportunity to get together with the people from different parts of the city and the suburbs and things mm-hmm. very often. But to come together once a year for this opportunity to memorialize Roe v. Wade, to pray for the unborn, pray for those people who work in the Respect Life ministries, to share a little bit of our time with one another in addition to being there in prayer, and to see our spiritual leaders, especially when Cardinal George is available to celebrate that Mass. Mm-hmm. It's very impressive mm-hmm. to us to see him so committed, and to see the other priests who may come and can celebrate with him, to see the other people who are involved in ministries in their own parishes.
Absolutely. And in fact, you know, that's open to any priests who wish to can celebrate. You know, you can just show up, bring a white Alban stole. but that's January 5th at 5 p.m. at St. Lambert and the Archdiocesan Mass for Life. It's open to the public. You can give us a call at 312-751-5355 for more information, or you can go to the Archdiocesan website at www.archchicago.org for information on that and all these other Respect Life events. You know, Anne, you were talking about the Cardinal's commitment to the gospel of life and to these issues of, working to end abortion. And he sent a very beautiful letter to priests in early December, and in which he stated that he would like the parish weekend focus on the weekend of January 13th to be on the Roe anniversary. He says, please focus your homilies, intercessory prayers, and bulletin information on abortion and post-abortion healing. And this was mailed to all priests and parishes in the Archdiocese, which is about 850 some. And, you know, he provided the USCCB's, you know, preaching for life points, intercessions for life. And he also asked every parish to have some form of prayerful activity on or around the January 22nd date, which is the actual Roe anniversary date. And it's very beautiful to see, you know, our great shepherd, Cardinal George, you know, speaking so specifically to his priests, saying, hey, for this weekend of January 13th, I would like you to focus on abortion and post-abortion healing in your homilies and in your intercessory prayers during all of the Masses. Wayne, as a parish Respect Life coordinator, you have done a lot of prayerful activities. What are things that parishes can do in order to raise our voices for the gospel of life, to raise prayers for the gospel of life as we reflect upon this tragic date?
Well, one of the most important things is to keep it in people's consciousness and to realize that we all have a role to play. For the last 4 years, I'm at St. Stanislaus Kostka. Father Anthony Bush is a tremendous supporter of the pro-life movement. And he's always saying, go ahead and do it. And he gives his heart to it as well. And we've done the spiritual adoption of an unborn baby for the past 4 years as a parish. And we pray for 9 months the simple prayer that takes about 10 seconds. And we put up posters each month showing the development of our babies. And then there's information provided in the bulletin. And at the end of the 9 months, we have a mass of celebration, one in English and one in Spanish. Susana Leon, who's my co-coordinator and handles much of the Spanish aspects of the parish, she's a tremendous organizer and motivator of people, and it's always a beautiful event, and different people bring different things to it. So I think one of the things to do is not to go into something with just your own ideas, but to be open to allow people to bring what they have to the table, and then they become involved because they take part in that. So our spiritual adoption, my original hope and prayer for it, was to pray for 9 months, once a day, have a massive celebration and thanksgiving for the birth of our babies, and then maybe a little baby shower to raise something for local moms. Other people brought other aspects into it, and there was a woman who was active with the Women's Center, and she told us about their baby bottle campaign. And so we brought that in, which is something I hadn't even been that closely aware of. Mm-hmm. And so we passed out the baby bottles, and 1 year we raised $4,000. Wow. We just had it in October again, and we raised over $3,000 this time by the grace of God and the generosity. We're not a rich parish. Mm-hmm. So to raise that kind of money is a real commitment of people, and that alone is a commitment because they were aware of the Women's Center. And then Mary Strom from the Women's Center came with a woman, one of the counselors, and a woman who had been turned away from the abortion mills with her baby. And when you see a woman standing there in front of you who was going to have an abortion, and she's standing there with this baby that was going to be killed, and this beautiful little baby is there, you know, sometimes laughing, sometimes crying, but being alive. And,
yes.
And you see the joy that the mother has in holding it. That brings the message more than almost anything you could say. But doing something like the spiritual adoption, which the Respect Life Office has done.
Yes, we have all those materials. We have the posters, the prayer cards. We provide that all free for parishes if people are interested. We're here in the studio with Wayne Smith and Joe and Ann Schuyler talking about the 35th anniversary of Roe v. Wade this month and all the activities, the Archdiocesan Mass for Life this coming Saturday, January 5th, 5 p.m. at St. Lambert. The focus, the parish weekend focus on the Roe anniversary on the weekend of January 13th that Cardinal George has sent to all priests in a letter in December. Then there's the March for Life pilgrimage, which is taking place January 19th through the 23rd in Washington, D.C. There's a Chicago March for Life that's happening on January 20th after the 12:30 p.m. Mass at Holy Name Cathedral. So about 1:30, people will be gathering there and walking to Water Tower Place and and praying there. But Joe, tell us a little bit, too. We've seen a tremendous kind of mobilization around Aurora and this new abortion facility that has opened there without any kind of public sanction, you know, basically using, deception and saying this was just going to be a medical building, and it turns out to be an enormous abortion facility. What's happening in Aurora that has gained so much national attention?
Well, I think the fact that Planned Parenthood had moved in under wraps, as even the Chicago Tribune said. Mm-hmm. They committed fraud. Mm-hmm. They bypassed the community input, which a not-for-profit organization is required to go through before you get a permit. Mm-hmm. And so they simply were zoned illegally. Mm-hmm. and given a permit illegally. And so we're taking them to court. We're going through the Zoning Commission now, and, of course, that takes a while. But ultimately, we think we can prove that the fraud that they committed should should punish them in the sense that they should not be open.
Mm-hmm.
And this is happening all over the country. We were in Denver just a week or two ago. Same thing's happening there. They're building a 50-some thousand square foot abortion mill under the guise of United Airlines. They lie, cheat, and steal because the people who kill for a living aren't going to worry about the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Now we get a call from Houston, Texas. They're building a 75,000 square foot.
Wow.
See, Planned Parenthood
These
is doing this around the country.
Yeah, they want to
put the apparently put this small abortion mills out of business. They can bring people in, have their doctors there because it's very hard to get abortions. So it's fraud and deception, and that's just part of it.
Mm-hmm.
They also are encouraging youth to become sexually active, and
mm-hmm.
despite they say that they go for teaching them abstinence, that's nonsense.
Right. It's like in a curriculum that's 70, 80 pages, there's like
right.
one page on abstinence.
Right. But I want to say one thing that I would be remiss if I didn't tell people, besides all of these other things that
mm-hmm.
Wayne and you and everyone
mm-hmm.
has suggested, they also have to come to where the abortions take place.
Mm-hmm.
At some time in their life, they must come to the abortion mills that are all over the country.
Mm-hmm.
And be there where it happens.
Mm-hmm.
Then they get the sense of what Pope John Paul II has said a number of times, that this is the most important work in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
And Pope Benedict yes. Says basically the same thing, that this is a war against human life.
Mm-hmm.
This is a war against the Creator.
Mm-hmm.
God doesn't make junk. And he doesn't create for people to be thrown away. We are to live a life where we come to know him and love him and serve him. Now, we hope these babies, you know, go to heaven. We don't
mm-hmm,
know.
Mm-hmm.
But the point is they are killing children as though they were an impediment to happiness and so on. They've so totally lost the value of human life, what
mm-hmm.
a human being is,
yes.
the most glorious creation possibly next to the angels and maybe better than the angels because
yes.
we get second chances and third and fourth, and they didn't. So I think we have to understand what's happening in this country, what's happening in the world, and we have to fight it with all the fire of our being. And ultimately, it takes sacrifice,
yes.
and it takes persistence.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody can fight for a little while, or can go to a march once in a while. But we have to fight this constantly, and we have to be where it happens at least sometime in our life.
Absolutely, absolutely. Maybe when we come back from this break, we can talk a little bit about 40 Days for Life. And Wayne, I know you were very involved, and you were very involved with that as well, and some of the fruits of those prayer efforts. So stay with us, friends. We're here in the studio with Joe and Ann Scheidler, Wayne Smith. I'm Mary Louise Curry. We're on Relevant Radio 950 AM. We'll be right back on Life Talk.
Shoots up through the stony ground. There's no room. No space to rent in this town. You're out of luck. And the reason that you had to care, the traffic is stuck. And you're not moving anywhere. You thought you found a friend to take you out of this place. Someone you can lend a hand in return for grace. It's a beautiful day. Sky falls, you feel like it's a beautiful day. To let it get away. On the road.
If my mom said no to life, I wouldn't be here.
I marched because I'm a survivor.
I just want to stand up for all the children who don't have a voice of their own.
I march because they can't.
I march for change.
Join hundreds of thousands in Washington, D.C. this January at the annual March for Life. The Archdiocese of Chicago's Respect Life Office is hosting its fifth annual youth pilgrimage, a four-day trip open to people of all ages. For more information or to register, call 312-751-5355. Or check out the Respect Life Office at www.archchicago.org. The registration deadline is December 14th, so act fast and join your voice to the cause for life. Call 312-751-5355 today.
I march.
I march.
I march because if I don't, who will?
Hi, I'm Chuck Knapp. Join me for Searching the Word, a live interactive program that equips you with a firm understanding of the faith. Each day, we'll search the Bible, the Catechism, papal teaching, and historical writings for answers to questions about living Catholic life. That's Searching the Word every weekday on Relevant Radio.
That's Searching the Word with Chuck Neff. Weekdays at noon on Chicagoland's Relevant Radio, 820 AM.
Most interment arrangements at the 43 Archdiocese of Chicago cemeteries are made through a pre-need plan. Your thoughtful planning today is economically prudent and contributes to peace of mind for you and your loved ones. Catholic Cemeteries counselors are available at your convenience. For more information, call 708-449-6100. Catholic Cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
I look to the youth especially because when they start getting into the movement and they start understanding what it is that's happening, then we start to see changes happening. Because I just looked at this little kid that was walking by earlier. I said, there goes a future senator. Another one walked by, there goes a future president. And I said, you know what? These guys are here. They're here now. And they're the ones who are going to change this country. They're going to turn it around.
Like a rain falls down.
Awesome. That was Deacon Marcelino Hernandez, our Vicariate One Respect Life Coordinator, talking about this young generation, how they are going to transform our nation to conform with the gospel of life. And what a beautiful message that is. Friends, we're in the studio today with Joanne Ann Scheidler and Wayne Smith talking about the 35th anniversary of Roe v. Wade, a decision made before I was even born. And because of that decision, today a quarter of my generation is missing. More than 50 million young people have been aborted. They are no longer with us. Millions of women and men walking around wounded, suffering in silence. And we need to remember, you know, the church's beautiful ministry of Project Rachel, reaching out to those who have had abortions. And before we went to the break, Joe, you were talking a little bit about the importance of praying outside the abortion clinics. And, you know, we just had 40 Days for Life in the Archdiocese in late October we launched it late September and through the month of October, Respect Life Month, when we had 40 consecutive days of prayer outside of the Planned Parenthood at LaSalle and Division, trying to help women and men too not to make that choice, which comes with such long-term regret, you know. And I've found women, many women who call the Project Rachel line, they may not regret it right away, maybe 10 years, 20 years. Many of these women who call, they even worked in the pro-choice movement after their abortions, before their abortions. They didn't have any regrets. And yet now, you know, even 30 years later, suffering great regret. Why is it important, and what is the experience like to pray outside of an abortion facility? Wayne, I know you do this quite a bit, and you're very involved with 40 Days for Life. Maybe we could go to you first. You know, you also sidewalk counsel. You approach and very, you know, very tenderly offer alternatives to women and let them know that there is help, material assistance, and support for them if they choose life. Why is it important, and what is the experience like to be out there praying at the clinics?
Well, the first and most important thing is that it becomes very real. You see mothers coming to kill their babies. It's that simple. And many cases, you see younger women, even girls, being almost forced in by mm-hmm. boyfriends, by mothers, by grandmothers. And you see them going in. Oftentimes, they talk about pro-choice. I found that most of the pro-choice people aren't pro-choice at all, because if you were pro-choice, you'd want to have both sides and all sides of the story so you could make a good choice on your own. They don't want people to have that choice. So we're out there as a last resort, first of all, to pray and to allow the Holy Spirit to work through us and have our Blessed Mother there guiding and interceding for us, so that we can come to these women and touch that one spot that might motivate them to stop and turn around. In many cases, it doesn't happen, but in many cases, it does too. And there's a very special moment when a woman realizes that she doesn't have to kill her baby, that there is help for her on many different levels, and she says, I'm not going to do this, and she leaves. And that's what helps to sustain us when we're out there, when it's 10 below zero, and, you know, we're wondering where our hands went to, and we know that the suffering is part of it. That's part of the prayer. And we do whatever it is we have to do. Joe can speak to that far better than I can because he's been doing it much longer, and he put his whole family on the line, his home on the line, everything on the line for it. And when you realize, when you see these women coming in there, that they're going to kill their babies and that there's a hope that something might touch them, then you go after it. And the Holy Spirit will often give you the words to use that will touch that woman's heart and get her to stop. And then education is part of it. You tell them. You have to listen to a woman. Why do you want to do this? It's important to realize that these are people with fears, with doubts, with misinformation, with all kinds of issues going on in their life. And you have to find out who they are as a person as quickly as you can. And you have to treat them with the respect that they deserve as a person, because they're making this decision under duress in most cases.
Right.
It's very seldom just, I don't feel like having a baby. Once in a while that does happen. But in most cases, there are strong issues that they have to deal with. So the way we work is, all of us in pro-life, is we allow the Spirit to guide us in what to say. We pray and we speak and we offer compassion and we offer help and we offer sources like the women's centers, crisis pregnancy centers, to say, we can help you with your medical expenses. We can help you with housing. We can help you with baby furniture and all kinds of things that may be going through your mind. Give us a chance to show you what we can do. And a lot of times they do.
And Joe, you know, I know you and Anne have done quite a bit of praying outside of clinics. What's the fruit? And what would you tell the people? You know, I used to be a person. In a sense, in a way, I still am. You know, there's a fear of going out there and praying. You know, when I've gone out there and prayed early on, I couldn't hold it together emotionally. I was just crying. And anybody who knows me knows I'm very even-tempered. So that's very unusual for me. Yeah. You know, I go from happy to happier usually, you know. So, but it's just so upsetting to be there. And you know, it wasn't so much I was concerned, oh, we're going to get arrested or something, because everything we're doing is totally legal. We're praying out there. It's very peaceful. You know, there isn't any concern about that. But it's more just, you know, this is an upsetting in a way. What would you say to people about the fruits of praying there?
Well, the prayer is our answer. I mean, without prayer, we're nowhere. And I think that's one reason we're winning, because we do pray, and the abortionists really can't pray. I mean, they're doing the work of the devil, the work of evil, and it would be very hard for them to pray for success. But for us, when we're out there saving lives and very concerned about our society and people's lives and women's lives because of the regret and remorse and desperation after abortions and the baby that needs to be born, it's successful. I've been at the clinic where we've talked as many as 20 women out of abortion in one morning.
Amazing.
In fact, more than that in Brooklyn one time. But you don't know for sure that they may not come back later. But for the most part, when a woman turns away, she's not coming back to an abortion. But the prayer is the first thing. We have a St. Benedict's motto, ora et labora. You pray and then you work. You do them both. And that's why people that say, well, I pray a lot, that's wonderful. But you also have a body, and you've got lips and a tongue, and you can talk, and you can teach. And we have to do that as you put it very, very well, where you said, you know, that we bring all these things together, and we are a witness, a testimony ourselves.
Yes.
And Wayne has done it. We've done it. I've seen miracles on the street. I've seen things happen. You know, they say in the scripture, don't worry about what you're going to say. The Lord will give you what to say. And sometimes it's just that thing. One time it was simply a prayer that the woman had said the morning she came to the abortion clinic, and we were reading it, the same prayer.
Oh. Oh, my goodness.
And that was her sign to come out. So you don't know what the Lord is going to use. But you do, from time to time, have to be where it happens, because it's like being at the foot of the cross.
Yes.
Mary and John and Magdalene and the women knew more about Christ's suffering than the other apostles, mm-hmm. because they were there. And even if you don't save the baby, you give the baby value. Your presence there may be, you may be the only people that are saying, this is a valuable human life that should be saved.
Yes.
And you're a witness.
And that child is not dying alone.
No,
you know, that's
right. That's important.
Well, praise God. And we actually only have 30 seconds left for the show here. So, Anne, a quick thought there before we wrap up.
I was going to say, your reaction to being out there, being upset at what's going on, that should be everybody's reaction. Unfortunately, too many people aren't upset at what is going on. And you have to go there to really understand, like Wayne said, it's a real woman, and she's taking a real baby in there, and you won't understand that if you don't go there.
Absolutely, absolutely. And friends, we thank you for joining us on Life Talk today. For more information on these things, you can go to www.artschicago.org. We're here with Joanne Scheidler, Wayne Smith. Thank you so much for being with us on the show today.
You're welcome. Thanks
it's
for having us.
It's been great. I'm going to listen to this program.
That sounds great. And we'll see you next month. And we hope to see you this Saturday night at the Archdiocesan Mass for Life. God bless you.
This is Cardinal Francis George. Thank you for being with us this past hour on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Join us every day, Monday through Friday, as the Archdiocese of Chicago presents the Catholic Community of Faith. Have a wonderful day, and God bless you.